Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. It's Dave Romero, Wesley Coleman, talking wall-to-wall Saints football. Wesley, in the off season, you know, there's a lot of things going on, and I decided, it's just been a rough off season. We haven't recorded that much, and I tried to go back, and I just want to listen to our last show, which we recorded before free agency, before the draft, and just to kind of get a feel of what things were like then. And it is amazing how far this team has come relative to what we talked about before free agency started. The first thing I'm going to say is, if anyone even remembers, I was like kind of on the boat of like, hey, not that Drew's not the best option quarterback, but it's just time to move on because I didn't think the team could get better. If you're not getting better, we'd be another 12-win team and, you know, losing the first, second round of the playoffs. And I'm like, if you know, you don't want to let one of our good players go if just to keep Breeze for another year. Yeah, it's nice to win 11 games. But if you're not building for the future, then I am. Now look at this team. Sanders we signed at wide receiver. Obviously an impact player. And then I need to give you kudos. And I even texted you last night and I said, can you recall what you said? Because every offseason I say, don't talk names. I want to talk position. What is the position that you feel the Saints need the most? And you said...
offensive or wide receiver and linebacker.
Yeah, but you were wrong. On the show, you said guard, and I was floored when I heard you say that because he texted me back. He said, "Yeah, I think you. What was it? Wide receiver and
yeah, I couldn't remember."
Yeah, and you're like, I said, "Nope, you're wrong. You picked guard, and you nailed it." And so, very well done. But look, help me out here. Let's talk about where we were in February with this team and where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that in February we were just coming off an Andrews Pete injury, and now we're doing the same thing, coming off another Andrews Pete injury.
True story.
I think that we were probably all back to that, disappointed with the way the playoffs ended, and then also, I can't say that I disagreed with you about, you know, was it time for us to start looking towards the future, and all, and I guess I think the last time we were... It was the debate of what would happen with Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, and kind of maybe more even excited about 2021 and that battle than we were 2020 and how that would all come together. Looking at it now, like, I'm 100% happy that Breeze is back. All the stuff we're hearing about what he did in the offseason with his arm strength and how he still finished the season last year, obviously not recovered with his thumb, and that he's added some distance to his throws.
Yeah.
And some zip to his throws, and we're hearing that from multiple people, saying that the Breeze looks different. Obviously what we're seeing on the defensive side of the ball so far is what I'm really, really excited about. I believe in our offense. I believe in Sean Payton. I believe that there's a pretty high floor for our offense. This defense, if it can come together, what we're seeing is obviously what our whole season relies on, along with health.
Yeah, I would agree with you with the offense. Sean Payton will find a way to produce offense. Now, having said that, there are times when they might be putting up productivity numbers, but sure, there are times when you end up with 380 yards offense and you didn't score enough, the right plays at the right time. And so I'm not going to try to like pretend it's automatic, because there are times when it's not. But I will say, I'm like you, I have confidence the offense will be fine. particularly with what we have on defense. And defense seems to be loaded from the front to the back. And if they're, let's talk just a second and be a little bit more specific. And I'm going to talk about the defensive line.
Okay.
There are guys on that defensive line. If Cam Jordan is just Cam Jordan, which is outstanding, you have David Onyemata. Now, again, this is a little bit of a projection, but there's a reason the Saints paid him all that money. And he has been a guy that has shown that he has the high ceiling. He has been moving towards that. He it's not that he's not a good player, but just hasn't been the guy that makes the impact plays yet. Could this be the year the light comes on? Now, another guy that it's just been, things have slowed him down, injuries in particular, but Davenport. I know that, to me, it's just silly, the criticism he gets on the, from the fans. It's absolutely silly. Now, if you want to criticize that we need you to stay healthy, I'm 100% behind you. Yes, you do. But as far as productivity, how many times last year we were talking about leading the league in pressures and what more? Sometimes you simply do not get to the quarterback. Would we want you to? Absolutely. But for a guy that the fans complain that he's still a developmental guy, which means that, hey, once he develops, maybe he turns those pressures into sacks. They sure give him hell about leading the league in pressures.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I'm excited about our defensive line. I think our defensive line is going to have some production, but I think it's because of our cornerbacks. The quarterbacks are going to have to hold the ball longer this year. Janoris Jenkins is a true number one cornerback, and he came into our system last year, you know, sat behind Eli Apple for a week and a half, and then started playing, and then he was hurt, hobbling to a couple things. Janoris Jenkins is the number one cornerback on 12 teams in the NFL, not more. Marshon Lattimore is the number one cornerback on just about every team in the NFL. These two guys, when they can slow down the quarterback's progression through his reads by sticking to receivers, and then when you're talking about in the nickel, hey, P.J. Williams is having maybe the best camp of anybody on offense or defense right now. He has an interception almost every single day, and he has a couple of pass breakups every single day, and he's actually doing well in one-on-ones, which we know favors the wide receiver. It is not what P.J. Williams does well.
Right.
So we're talking about if P.J. Williams, the combination of P.J. Williams, Malcolm Jenkins, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, C.D. Deuce, whatever you want to call it. If that combination, one of those guys can rotate in and play nickel, and then the other one's playing safety with Marcus Williams, one, it's a really dangerous defense that makes a quarterback hold the ball for three quarters of a second longer, gets Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport and somebody to the quarterback. The other thing that it does is I think that because those are all guys that can play safety, we don't know who's going to be nickel. And it's going to make, again, the quarterback's going to have to wait till the snap of the ball almost to start reading who's going to be the safety and who's going to be the nickel. And again, take an extra second to figure out where he can throw the ball. I mean, the things that are going on is really, really excited that we're seeing. Again, we have a great offense with amazing receivers right now. And the defense is giving them trouble every single day.
Well, generally speaking, this time of year, your defense is going to be ahead of the offense, maybe this year more than any other. And I, you know, as I'm saying these things, I think it's kind of the stereotypical thing I'm obligated to say. But the reality of it is, I think you are seeing the things that as the season progresses, the defense, there's just simply too much talent on this defense for any team to be able to exploit. In the way that we've seen it as people who follow the Saints, as fans who've seen it, where it's just the defense seems to time and time again be the albatross that the offense is dragging across the field. And quite frankly, despite all the weapons and all the things we're seeing on offense, I think the defense, when I was a young man, I would specifically get more excited about when Ricky Jackson and Pat Swilling and that defense would take the field than I would the offense. And it's not that way now, but I'm starting to see it because we can progress on. And I know you haven't even touched on everybody. And I started on the defensive line, and I didn't talk about Rankins. So let's move over to the...
He supposedly is having a great, and looking like a monster of him.
And where I was concerned about him was the injury, and then the more you find out about the injury, it wasn't necessarily a... it was an injury, obviously, but it was more of something that had to be corrected as opposed to something he injured because he played football. And so while, it might be a difference without a distinction, I tend to not believe, because it's different than a traumatic injury where you blow a knee out and you're ripping things apart. It was more of something that was, for those who don't know, he had a bone spur, essentially, and they went into much more depth. How often do you see a player or a coach really explain into depth their injury? But essentially, think of a bone spur on your heel that's affecting your Achilles tendon. So he was having issues, and until that bone spur was removed, or however they went and surgically fixed it, repaired it, he was having injuries. But moving on, you're looking at a defensive line. Our third round draft pick, Brom, has been, for a rookie, turning heads. Allowed, is that the right way to say? We were allowed to cut a veteran player who may have gotten significant playing time, but he started moving down the depth chart, and from everything I've heard, that just because of his attitude, he didn't care for it. But hey, look, when you moving a veteran down the depth chart and it hurts his feelings because you have younger players who are moving up the depth chart, that's not a bad thing. Anzalone, again, we talked about this in the offseason. Is that injury bug going to creep up on him again? Yeah. You know, DeMario Davis, one of the top linebackers in the league, but the potential is there for this linebacking crew to be not only outstanding against the run, but outstanding against the pass as well.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of how it's all coming together, and again, with all those defensive backs, I think there's going to be a lot of 5 and 6 defensive back kind of sets where somebody's coming down in the box playing like a linebacker. And then the depth on the defensive line, which can save us, that we don't have it necessarily cornerback. We might have the depth at safety, but exterior corner, like, we're going to need some people to stay healthy. Again, what we've done against the run, the defense line, what is it, 90 something games before, since we've given up a 100 yard rusher, even though it seems like we gave up 99 in the first half in our last playoff game. But what they've done is that, and again, I think that maybe our defense this year, because of where our offense operates, we might give up. So we're going to give up yards because people are going to be passing the ball a lot late in games, because I think we'll have leads. This year, we have to improve sacks and turnovers. That's what we necessarily didn't have the last couple of years. We got good sacks. We got 50 sacks or so, but we're not getting the turnovers. I think this year, with these cornerbacks that we have, and the way these young linebackers and different people are going to play, we're actually going to be in a position to pressure some quarterbacks and create some turnovers, which really swings the game.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The sacks, the pressures, obviously, not only do you need them, you want them to be to make a difference in a game, but it's the turnovers. It's when you apply pressure in any sports. When you apply pressures, mistakes happen, and the turnovers are simply the things that just close games out. You know, I can go back through the history of Saints and teams that we've had that should have won Super Bowls, but because of, and I'll go back to when the Saints lost to the 49ers in San Francisco, was that 2011? Yeah. Super Bowl team, turnovers killed you. And you have to be able to apply the pressure that just forces mistakes, but those mistakes can't just be a sack or a tackle for a 6-yard loss. Those are great, but how many times have we seen teams overcome that? We need to get the ball out and create turnovers. And I agree with you, man, the speed, the pressure, the defense, I'm so excited about, and I'm almost downplaying the upgrades on offense.
Sure.
Because there's just a part of me that it's just hard to imagine them being significantly better than they were even last year, which was a very productive offense, even though it wasn't necessarily an exciting or explosive offense.
It's kind of hard to go back and forth, because we sit here and we talk about the last couple of seasons, specifically last year. We sit there and we say that our offense almost got one-dimensional once Kamara was hurt, and hey, it's just Michael Thomas. But nobody could stop them.
No.
I mean, and it's still, I really think that if our offense just sat out there and said, Michael Thomas is going to have the exact same numbers he did last year, I don't know if you can stop him. I mean, they've tried double teaming him and almost triple teaming him and all this weird stuff. But this year, I mean, Emmanuel Sanders is a true wide receiver in the NFL, a veteran wide receiver that can play inside.
Starting caliber.
Jared Cook is coming to into his own as a tight end. He did in the last 7 or 8 games of last year in the Saints, like, understood the offense and was incredibly productive. And he's not taking a step back. I mean, they admitted that coming out, they finally admitted this year that coming out of the preseason last year, Jared Cook didn't understand our offense. He had a lot of trouble with understanding what was going on. He's fully immersed in there. Traquan Smith, I mean, I don't know, he's our number three receiver. That's a pretty good number three receiver, at least his resume, what he has. And people can be down on him for not having the big production numbers. Having said that, you know, this is a guy that scored 5 touchdowns last year, which is really good production for a number three receiver. Mm-hmm. Kamara, clearly, we've seen all the highlights of going back to, you can see the play he was injured on last year, and he was never the same. He was leading the league in broken tackles before then, and definitely fell off a cliff after hurting his knee. But this season, I think he looks faster than he ever has. What he's doing, the way he's turning the corner. And I'll tell you, the secret weapon is that we tried to, like, downplay if he was even going to make the team. I'm pretty excited about Ty Montgomery. He's playing some
versatile
and some running back. He's doing a lot of fun things, and we've seen a lot of plays in the in our camps already. People chasing him down the field, and him getting open, and he's actually blocking. Like, we didn't know if he could block as a running back. He's doing a bunch of things that look fun. There might be some of that Taysom Hill role that he actually does, which you don't know where he's going to line up. We can have a pretty confusing offense, even more than we did last year. If Trautman, the tight end, can come into his own, again, is he blocking or is he a receiver? The way that they can kind of throw a few different looks at you and keep the same package on the field, not letting the defense change out players, and running a completely different offense.
He's getting a lot of looks, Trautman, a lot of looks and a lot of snaps, because Josh Hill's been out of camp with some, you know, minor injuries. It's easy for me to say minor. I'm not the one rehabbing them, right? But the point is that Troutman's getting a lot of looks. He's getting some experience, and these are crucial snaps in practice when you don't have preseason games. I mean, this is a unique situation, at least in modern football, where, I mean, it's just, and my own personal feelings, it's just this season has just snuck up on me. We are literally looking at a situation where in 2 weeks they're going to be strapping it on and stepping on the field. I mean, if you take the kids and the family over to Wally World just for a weekend, when you come back, it's like, wait a minute, there's a game this weekend? It's going to come up on us that quick. No preparation, no – and it makes it tough. I mentioned Brom, the third-round linebacker out of Wisconsin, I believe. And
Bond.
I said it wrong when he was drafted. And never mind. I was going to bring up some other names that were mispronounced and caused all kind of problems, but we'll leave it at that. but he is a guy that could make a difference. He's going to get a lot of snaps, and man, you'd like for him to get a lot more work in the preseason. Let him really. It's going to be hard for the team to really understand guys who can help the team when you may not be able to see them get any snaps prior to the season.
Well, it goes back to the way that, you know, we've drafted this way for years, but the way we specifically drafted this year is we drafted intelligence of people that were ready to play because they knew that there was going to be less of a preseason than
right.
Normal. I don't think they realized there was going to be this much less at the time during the draft. They at least thought there was going to be something. But it just more looks at the way the Saints have a very veteran team with extremely smart, high-character rookies that actually are getting some good experience and can step in and play maybe faster than some rookies would have in the past, especially with this unique situation that we're looking at.
I'm definitely, and I kind of switch subjects away from Ty Montgomery, and while he has always been a talented player, He has a good skill set. He's big. He's strong. Obviously, you don't play wide receiver without having burst and explosiveness, and you don't turn around and play running back unless you have some toughness and some strength about you. Because, you know, listen, you can weigh 210 as a wide receiver. Doesn't mean you are built to take the pounding that a running back would take. And the fact that the guy can play both, and also coupled with we don't really have a who really aside do we have after Kamara those two are locks, and I meant more who could fill Kamara's role. And not that Ty Montgomery could be Kamara, but if in a pinch you have a guy that can play running back, you know he can catch the ball, you know he can make plays, you know you can put him in a situation where Sean Payton loves guys with the versatility so defenses simply do not know what's coming at them by formation.
Yeah, 100%. And it's going to be really interesting this year with, again, I think you're going to see some sort of weird set where you might have Latavius Murray, Ty Montgomery, and Kamara all on the field at the same time. Latavius Murray lined up in the backfield, and Kamara and Montgomery split out wide with Michael Thomas in there or Jared Cook. And like, one, that's a big package of some guys that there's not a cornerback's big enough or fast enough or linebackers that keep up. Somebody's going to have an extreme mismatch with three powerful running backs on the field. That all, again, Latavius Murray, when we signed him last year, everybody's like, well, you know, he doesn't replace Kamara because he can't catch. He had 43 catches last year. He had more catches than any wide receiver on the team not named Michael Thomas.
Right.
Which is really crazy. Latavius Murray had 43 catches. We can throw some different packages, and we know that Sean Payton kind of sometimes it frustrates us because he likes to be unique and weird just to be unique and weird. This is actually getting a pretty talented team that he can do that with, and we can't question, like, oh, he tried to fit Tommy Lee Lewis in there just because that's a weird... I mean, he's gone, he signed with somebody else, and now we actually have true athletes in there that are big enough and fast enough to run in some interesting packages and confuse the defense.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And then, you know, let's talk about the fan favorite, Taysom Hill, who's getting a lot of reps as throwing the ball in camp. And he's, you know, I'm going to consider him the number two in terms of the reps that he's getting in practice. But obviously, the number three, Jameis Winston, is getting more reps than your average number three is getting. So they're kind of splitting those backup reps. But he's playing well, he's throwing the ball well, he understands the offense, and more than that, I'm just excited about the potential. We've already not only heard whispers, but we've gotten somewhat of confirmation from even Coach Payton about the fact that they plan on using Taysom Hill, and I'll use this as my jumping point, which is the fourth quarter of the Minnesota Viking playoff game, where Taysom Hill went in there and got more than just his cursory one carry or one, that they have an active role, that he may get 25% of the snaps at quarterback. Now, I haven't heard much talk about it, but this is the time of year where the team's not really going to start talking about the, you know, what their plans are for Taysom Hill. Why would they want to give that away? But if what the offseason has alluded to, has whispered, I'm trying to find the right word of what it's, you know, secretively kind of under his breath said, we're going to look at Taysom Hill as an integral part of the offense that probably doesn't come out of the game. He's either playing an offensive skill position or he's playing a snap at under center. And that, if what we saw with the Vikings in the fourth quarter is what we see throughout the season, I don't know how this offense is going to get slowed down.
Yeah, I think that importantly, whether it's the ball being snapped to him or handed to him or some sort of sweep or him run up as a tight end, I think that the Minnesota game proved that the ball has to be in his hands at least a few more times, maybe early in the games too, to see what people are going to do. Obviously we'll decide as games are going along what is and isn't working, but I think there has to be the ball in his hand just because of the excitement he brings. He'll run over people, he'll run around people, and he's athletic now where he's going up and catching the ball. But also, I mean, he's got a lively arm. Deontay Harris is somebody that's really fast. We got Emmanuel Sanders who's got some speed. We've got some people that can go up and get the ball. I think that we've got to play around and see what is Taysom bringing. At the same time, I don't necessarily want him getting 25% of the snaps from what I've seen this year. So far, hearing about with how Drew is playing too. That both kind of scares me back and forth about the...
Let me interject this. Now, I think that the prevailing sentiment about Breeze is, you know, like, as you get older, and I can speak from a little bit of experience, it's not the first quarter. It's not the first quarter of the season. It's the wear and tear progressively on the body of an older player. They tend to break down. And so having a guy like Taysom Hill getting more snaps, and I do agree, because that would be my thought. It's like Breeze is in there, just now he has a legitimate NFL caliber number two receiver. You have skill players. You have a healthy Kamara. You have an offensive line that should be outstanding. And then all of a sudden he's playing extremely well, all under all assumptions. And then like, oh, let's take him out and put Hill in. The thing about that is, as counterintuitive as that may seem, later down the season, the fourth quarter of the season, you start seeing it pay dividends that Breeze didn't have to take every snap.
Definitely, and I will not argue with that at all. I just I want to our main goal being winning those games. Like if we're 12-0 with Drew playing 92% of the snaps, I'd rather that be the record than, you know, 9-3 with Drew playing 78% of the snaps. I definitely get it. And I'd also say, as much as I love Taysom Hill, I love watching him play, I had said when we last year had him and Teddy Bridgewater that I 100% would rather hand the keys to the kingdom over to Taysom Hill than Teddy Bridgewater. We've got a legit quarterback on the roster now that has a huge arm that even when Winston is completing about 50% of his passes so far with the workouts that we've seen, everybody's raving about how his arm looks on those 50% of passes if we can, again, we're a couple weeks into Drew Brees and Sean Payton and our coaches being able to work with Jameis Winston. If we can get his mind right as far as the decision making that he does on the football field, this is a guy that is 100% like a made in a lab quarterback. If we can get the mind right around it too, it makes me really excited about the future when Drew does retire. Like there's a possibility there of us staying super competitive and not like a quirky fun way.
You know, right.
Football team, awesome quarterback kind of way.
Well, the only thing that I would be slightly concerned about would be if Winston does play well enough where the Saints think they do need to hand the reins over to him, that the numbers that he will ask for may be astronomical. Now, having said that, very much like Teddy Bridgewater, that's what you think, because you want to think, and as a follower, as a fan who's listening to the podcast, you think, oh, of course, I want him to be what we all thought he would be coming out of Florida State. Florida State. Anyway, so, but the thing about it, like Teddy Bridgewater, just because you came and you were a pretty good backup and maybe even went in and played a few games and did pretty well doesn't mean that it erases everything that's happened in the past, and I don't think that anybody's going to pay him a huge contract immediately next year. So I do think the Saints will be extremely competitive, and not to mention with the roster we have, why would Winston want to walk and go someplace else for something that the Saints will be competitive money-wise, you know?
For sure, and I think that they, as much as I am scared of where the Saints are for the 2021 salary cap and it going down to $175 million is what's being rumored, I think that actually helps us with Winston, because somebody can't walk in and offer him some... I mean, again, we're talking about Teddy Bridgewater got $20 million a year.
Though, that's not a lot nowadays.
No, I know, but like Winston's going to get that. Even if he, you know, doesn't play a snap for us this season, I think somebody offers him, you know, a couple years of that. And again, that's like you said, that's not a lot of money anymore.
Well, and also with
down, I think it helps us maybe getting for another 1 year short deal, or at least on a couple year decent deal.
I wasn't mean to say that in the sense that explaining to you that is a lot. Yeah. It's almost amazing that. Hey, a guy that didn't really play much last year that we really don't know is going to be anybody important. $20 million used to be the benchmark for what your great quarterback, and it wasn't that long ago. Within, you know, I would say 5 years ago, $20 million was a top notch quarterback, or at least
he's got his 5-year $100 million deal. I mean, it's 7 or 8 years, and that was the, you know, the first $100 million guy there. So I mean, that was a big deal not too long ago.
But now it's like, that's what we'll give him that much, but we got to wait and see, you know. So you get 20, but we'll just want to make sure everything's okay. So, but anyway, I think it's almost, man, I try not to be a homer when I do this show, but it's hard not to look at this roster and find, I mean, where's the weaknesses on this roster? Where's the weakness? I mean, and I know we can go and do this, but I really feel like you have to go into the backups to start saying, well, our depth really isn't great at, before you can start talking about true weaknesses, guys that, we really need to upgrade it, you know?
Yeah, and I think this season with it's going to be really important, the discipline of the team, of all teams, with where somebody does catch COVID-19, the coronavirus, and they have to miss 2 or 3 games, it's even more important of how mature your team is. And there's NFL teams aren't doing quote-unquote bubbles, but it seems like our team has taken this seriously, and there's a lot of people at least talking about they understand. I think Drew, being towards the end of his career, helps people know that every game is important more than normal, and this season could be Drew's last season. And I think some of our younger guys on the team, especially our veterans, obviously are taking that super seriously, where maybe there's risks that some people on other teams maybe would take and be like, oh, I'll probably be fine, where our team is focused every single day on not getting out and making weird decisions that might make them get sick and miss a few games and all. Because like you said, if we're talking about starting rosters, I'll put us up with anybody in the league right now that there is. It's when you get to that maybe outside cornerback depth and then offensive line depth, I get a little scared. Everywhere else, I feel pretty good about where we're at with our first line of backups.
Yeah, I'm not – you see, part of the problem with having great starters – is it makes your depth look terrible. It makes your depth look scary. You know, when you're going to lose a Teron Armstead, it makes our Ryan Ramczyk or any one of our cornerbacks, it just makes the guy after him just look scary. But the fact of the matter is, offensive line, I'm not particularly worried about it because of, A, the way the offensive line is set up with what we assume will be a healthy Pete by the time the season starts. It was just a broken finger. And the fact that we do have some experience on the inside, and where I do worry a little bit is if a corner goes down. But I think you could probably make the argument on just about any team that if you have two outstanding cornerbacks, if one of them goes down, you're going to be scared to death of who's going to back them up.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, do I want us to have the best starters in the league or the best backups in the league?
Right.
I definitely am happy that we have the best starters in the league. And put that up against anybody. And I mean, again, you know, Lattimore has played through injuries and played really well while he was been hobbled. He's only missed a couple games in his career. And Jenkins is somebody that's been very healthy too. So I mean, at that position where we have the least amount of depth, we got two guys that have proven that they generally play a lot of games every season.
Okay. All right. You got anything else you want to touch on and thoughts that you'd like to share?
Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with you. Like, you know, where I'm a huge Saints fan, I do try to, you know, have logic and reason. And this, I mean, it's always in the off season where it's tough to not be too excited about what's going on.
Right.
This is just one of those, Emmanuel Sanders, a receiver like that, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, a Golden Tate, somebody like that is somebody I've been wanting us to sign for a very long time.
Yes.
He's, you know, what we thought Brandon Cooks could be or would be, and he definitely was not. And somebody like that is a big deal to us. And then what we've done here, again, we wanted to have one, if not two, cornerbacks for a long time. And it's always been that other cornerback since the last few years, since Lattimore's been here, that's just been terrifying to us. And we've gotten excited about somebody every year that's just really let us down within a game or two. Janoris Jenkins, these are two things that we've been wanting to fix for a long time. And I've personally been wanting to fix for a long time that I'm super excited about. And again, it's an offense and defense that's done well. We're winning the most games in the NFL over the last few seasons, in the regular season. And us going in and being able to fill those two holes is really exciting. So I'm not going to be surprised if this is a team that's deep in the playoffs this next year. It's competing for a Super Bowl. It's an exciting time.
My expectations with this roster is, as long as, like every caveat, as long as they stay healthy, this is going to be I don't know if I've seen a stronger team in a Saints uniform. But anyway, we are going to try to provide. The problem is, this is the first season I haven't been to training camp in I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years, and it's hard to really give you some good in-depth opinions that are your own. So it's going to be difficult, but I think that we'll come up with some things to talk about, and we'll be able to share. And once the season gets going, we'll get back on our weekly routine, and we look forward to sharing our thoughts with everybody out there. So for Wesley Coleman, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we will talk to you next week.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heed, and Thomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week, every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. Oh, boy,